Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I hope you're going to have a fantastic weekend wherever you are in this great country or this great land. I am in the middle of a crazy Little League Baseball season. We had so many different rainouts that every day is a different game. So I'm at the ballpark late into the evening every single day. We had games Wednesday, Thursday, got a game tonight, got a game tomorrow. Four straight days of Little League Baseball is a lot of different games to be trying to keep up with for one kid. Other kid has also got games going on multiple different days. So anyway, I'm sure and I hope that you, many of you out there in the country, are also equally having fun with your own kids, or maybe you are the kid who is able to play. Normalcy returning in many ways in the country. CDC announces yesterday afternoon that if you have been vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. You no longer need to socially distance, either indoors or outdoors. What does that mean? It means that normalcy, basically, after a very long time, is officially here. The fear porn, as I have been calling it, has ended. And with it, normalcy can return to the world of sports. I am ecstatic for that to occur. I have been arguing for a long time that we need 100% capacity available in baseball, basketball, hockey, football, whatever level of sport you are playing, you should be able to play it. So too should your kids. And I think we are closer and closer to that element of normalcy returning. Also, I think it's high time that we start using sports to make things better as opposed to making things worse, to unite us as opposed to dividing us. And with that in mind, we are scheduled to be joined by Officer Deion Joseph. You may recognize that name a bit because we talked about him a little while ago on this program when he had a letter that he wrote to LeBron James go viral. A couple of weeks ago, we talked with him on this show about the letter that he had written on this show. And now we are scheduled to be joined by Officer Deion Joseph, who is a 25-year veteran of the LA Police Department. And I want to read for you now the letter that he wrote to LeBron James, an open letter requesting that LeBron come in and work with him to help make things better in the United States. And I am reading directly from his letter. It was an open letter. And I think this is an incredible job that he did on this letter, but I want you to read it. And then we will talk with Officer Deion Joseph next in the next segment about this letter and the response that he has received to this letter so far. So this is Officer Deion Joseph, who is now a 25-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. This is what he wrote to LeBron James. Dear LeBron, I am not going to come at you from a place of hatred. By the way, sorry, before I start reading this, LeBron James posted a photo of a Columbus, Ohio police officer demanding accountability for that officer. This is the response. That officer, by the way, was saving a life if you were following it and if you paid attention at all to this story. And LeBron tried to turn that officer into the bad guy. And this is what prompted the initial letter from Officer Deion Joseph. Dear LeBron, I am not going to come at you from a place of hatred. There will be no name calling. I was raised to see the whole of a human being, not to hyper-focus on their flaws or make said flaws the whole of who they are. I'm an honest man. What you do for children and other acts of charity shows a huge heart. You show to be a family man, and that's to be respected. You play for the team my family has cheered for since the 1960s, then myself since 1979. But Your current stance on policing is so off base and extreme. Your tweet that targeted a police officer in Ohio who saved a young woman's life was irresponsible and disturbing. It showed a complete lack of understanding of the challenge of our job in the heat of a moment. You basically put a target on the back of a human being who had to make a split-second decision to save a life from a deadly attack. A decision I know he and many others wish they never had to make, especially when it involves someone so young. Instead of apologizing, you deflected. You said you took your tweet down because you did not want it to be used for hate when the tweet itself was the embodiment of hatred, rooted in a lack of understanding of the danger of the situation. I don't know, and again, this is the words of Officer Dion Joseph, a 25-year veteran of the LA Police Department. I don't know if this will ever reach you, but my hope is that one day I can sit down with you and talk. As a man of faith, I can have no hatred toward you, but I do feel I can help you understand the reality of the profession of policing and that there is another side you need to hear. You are tired of black folks dying, so am I. You hate racism and police brutality, so do I. But you cannot paint 800,000 men and women who are of all races, faiths, sexual orientations, and are also mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, preachers, coaches, community members, and just human with such a broad and destructive brush. Unlike some who have dug their heels in the belief that police are inherently evil, I think if you yourself actually sat down and had a real honest and open conversation with a cop, there's a strong chance you may discover we're not the monsters you've come to believe we are, who deserve the hate and disdain you have. And even if you come away feeling the same way, I could respect it, because at least you gave the other side your ear instead of only hearing one narrative. The offer's on the table, LeBron. No cameras, no fanfare, just two men who care talking. I know it's a long shot, but this division and hatred must stop. It's clear based on rising crime in marginalized communities that cops and the community need to build bridges to save lives on all sides that can't be done through the demonization of any group of people. Just putting it out in the universe, brother, even if not me, please take the time to talk to a police officer instead of judging them. No shade. Thanks for all the positive things you do. I think that's phenomenal. That is Officer Dion Joseph and the letter that he wrote, the open letter that he wrote to LeBron James. We are scheduled to have him on the show next. Why are we going to have Officer Dion Joseph on the show? Because I'm trying to use this platform, the biggest in all of the country when it comes to morning sports talk radio, to unite instead of divide through sports. I believe that if these guys have a legitimate conversation, or if athletes spend more time with police officers instead of demonizing them, I think what would start to happen is everything would get better as opposed to worse. Because right now, and I know we have a lot of police officers out there who listen to us every morning all over the country, I hear from all of you saying things have never been better in my profession, never been worse in my profession. People have never treated us worse. We have never found ourselves in a more difficult situation than we are right now. And that's because of a mutual level of mistrust between police and the citizens they are trying to protect. And I believe instead of making things better, athletes very often are making things worse. So what would Officer Dion Joseph suggest to bring athletes and police officers together and hopefully lead to a safer community for everyone across the width and breadth of our entire country? I don't know the answer, but I can't wait to talk with him about it. And I think this is an example of how sports can be used at their best to pull us all together as opposed to being used to divide us all apart. This shouldn't be controversial. Everybody should be in favor of less violence. Everybody should be in favor of better police and citizen interaction. And so we're going to talk with Officer Dion Joseph next. I think it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I thank him for waking up early with us on the West Coast to have this conversation. Got kids in the car. I'd encourage you to leave them in the car. Let them listen to this. I think we're going to have a very constructive and productive dialogue here. Fingers crossed as we continue to go forward.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
He is Officer Dion Joseph, 25 years with the Los Angeles Police Department. He wrote an open letter to LeBron James in the wake of LeBron James posting the photo of the Columbus, Ohio police officer and demanding accountability. I read from that letter on this program. Many of you responded very favorably to it. I know we have a lot of law enforcement officers all over the country who start off their morning listening to us with Outkick, and I appreciate all the work that you guys do, putting your lives and your liberty on the line as you do every single day. Officer Joseph, thanks for joining us, and for people out there who may not have heard about the letter that you wrote and your background, go ahead and introduce yourself, if you could, to our audience, and thanks for starting off early with us here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm Dion Joseph. I've been a veteran of law enforcement for 25 years. I've worked with the homeless for 23 of those years. Working with my fellow officers, we've helped house and shelter homeless and try to keep crime down and just try to keep the wolves from hurting the sheep. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell. When LeBron made that tweet, it upset me for two reasons. One, you know, here's a hardworking blue collar officer who had to make a decision. He stepped into chaos to make a decision that no police officer wants to make, which resulted in the tragic loss of a life of someone so young. But I understood the actions he took based on the totality of the circumstances. And the other reason is, that could have easily been me, you know, on four occasions. I almost had to take somebody's life. And I can only imagine what somebody with such influence and 50 million followers, the hatred that could have been brought upon me for making a decision I could have made by somebody who's so influential and powerful. So instead of being angry with LeBron, I actually understood LeBron, because before I was a police officer, I thought just like him. You know, being a young African-American male, I was kind of conditioned to believe that the police were my natural enemy and they could do no right. And that was based on what I was exposed to, you know. And then a couple of incidents where I was racially profiled didn't set well either. But I was only exposed to the negative exception of law enforcement through TV, through music. And the only difference between me and LeBron is that I stepped across the line to see the other side. And on the other side, it's not what people are making it out to be. Most men and women who put on a badge and gun are hardworking, dedicated individuals. And yes, I acknowledge there's a negative exception, like there is in any profession, but I just felt his tweet was highly misinformed and also inflammatory and could have easily put that officer in danger, even though I don't believe that was his intent. I don't believe that when he put an arrow on that officer, that he was saying the harm should come to the officer. He just wanted to see the officer prosecuted. But you understand, he has 50 million followers. And with 50 million followers, you know, there's going to be some crazy folks who are going to take that a whole different way. As a matter of fact, there was an officer, I don't know what part of the country, he was involved in a justified shooting. And of course, you know, the haters kept putting out there he was a murderer, and some young man showed up at his house and shot up his house. So these are things that people, especially if you're a high profile person or a politician, you have to think about before you tweet, and just wait for the facts to come out before you say anything. So that's why I wrote the letter.
It was a fantastic letter. We're talking to Officer Dion Joseph, who wrote a letter to LeBron James asking for LeBron to sit down and have a conversation with him about many of the things that you just laid out there. Fabulously well-written letter. Have you heard anything from LeBron or anyone at the Lakers since you published your open letter asking to have a conversation with him?
Well, I'm aware that they know, but I haven't heard anything, and I don't expect to hear anything, primarily because a letter that I wrote with the desire of openness and love, you know, unfortunately, some folks got a hold of it, and the tagline was more or less making it seem like my effort was adversarial. Black cop comes against LeBron James, a cop blasts LeBron James. So I'm sure he probably only read the tagline and probably hasn't even read the letter. So I don't expect that to happen. And even if that doesn't happen, I still think he's a great man who, you know, the charitable things he's done for children, and he has has a big heart, and he reminds me of myself in that way too. And also, he's purple and gold. I'm never going to hate him, but you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
All right, we'll get back to that in a sec, but I want to go into your life a little bit. So, you grew up a huge Laker fan. Did you grow up in the Los Angeles area yourself?
Born in Los Angeles, raised in the LBC, and yes, I've been a huge Laker fan. My dad was a fan since their inception, and then I became a fan in 1979 when I saw Magic and Kareem do their thing back then, and I was hooked ever since. I love the Lakers even when Vlade Divac and Nick Von Exel was playing, you know. So, you know, I'm not a fair weather fan, you know. So where one man doesn't make a whole team, so whether he calls me or not, I'm going to love the Lakers till I die.
Who's your favorite Laker player? You said you've been a fan since 79. Who's your favorite player over that time? Who have you enjoyed watching the most?
Of all time, my GOAT is Magic Johnson. This is a guy who made other players better, but this is a man who could also score. Magic Johnson could have won scoring titles, in my opinion, but he chose to make other great players that much better. So I love watching this man. It was like watching a rock concert when you saw the Lakers play in the 80s. It was just electric.
We're talking to Officer Deion Joseph. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about your experience as a police officer in the larger context here. You've been a police officer for 25 years in the L.A. area. You've been through a lot of different difficult circumstances, good circumstances. How would you assess in the public what you see now, the relationship between citizen and officer compared to over the last generation? Better, worse? How has it evolved and changed since you began your service as a law enforcement officer?
Well, right now, I think it's fractured, but we don't even have to go back that far. Pre-pandemic, I think that we were having a pretty good relationship. Well, I can't speak for every department. I can only speak for my own and where I work. We were having a pretty good relationship. Right at the start of the pandemic, we were driving through the streets at 8 o'clock, and people are hanging out their windows, clapping for us and thanking us for our service. Prior to the pandemic, we were having regular meetings with all kinds of community members, parolees, gang members, and just having these real conversations and developing really great relationships. And I can only speak for my department, like I said. And then once the pandemic hit, it kind of forced everyone into their silo, into their homes. And then the horrible events of in Minnesota with that murderous Derek Chauvin, and I don't care what anybody says, that was a cold-blooded murder. Folks being forced to kind of like watch, you know, negative news story after negative news story. It kind of created a lot of anger in people's hearts and mistrust. And you could feel it. You could cut the tension with a knife everywhere you went. And then came the protests and the riots. And that was very disheartening for our officers, you know. And we know that most of the people that came down here and caused the destruction weren't even from L.A., you know. But still, to have to endure that, and then when they left, the fallout is people having a negative taste in their mouth about policing for something that I never did. That's something that I don't condone and that my fellow officers don't condone, and that had nothing to do with us. There's a lot of damage that's been done. And it's not just the George Floyd situation. There are other incidents throughout over the years, but they take those incidents and they use that to paint all officers with a broad brush and completely fracture the relationship to the point to where, you know, they don't want us in community meetings. They don't want us in parks. They don't want us, engaging in the ways that we need to engage to help keep people safe. And as a result, you can see crime skyrocketing. The other disheartening factor is our politicians. Look, it's one thing when Joe living in his mom's basement smoking weed and, you know, watching cop hate videos all day long hates the police. We get why that happens. But when it's a political leader, espousing the same things as Joe on his laptop, that's when it's time to be concerned. It just feels like in some cases, in some places across the country, we don't have leaders. We have followers in leadership positions. And they literally allowed, officers to take so much abuse and then threw us under the bus. And I would have gladly taken a rock some bottles if somebody said, hey, you know, that wasn't our cops, and I understand how you feel, but you're not going to destroy our city. But not one across the country said that. So right now, there's fractures, but I still believe there's hope. You know, my job as a senior lead officer at my department is to bring people together, and I've done that successfully in the roughest of neighborhoods. That's why I think that I could build bridges with LeBron or, you know, someone of that stature where we can work together to save lives on all sides.
Defunding the police, I've argued on this show, and we're talking to Officer Dion Joseph. He's a 25-year veteran of the L.A. Police Department who penned an open letter very eloquently to LeBron James asking for the meeting between the two men to happen to try to bring people together as opposed to tear them apart. Defunding the police is, I think, the dumbest argument that has ever been made in the 21st century. And what's crazy, I'm glad you're calling out politicians, by the way, of all stripes, Officer Joseph, because when you look at the data, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, people don't want to defund the police. They know that you guys are integral to the safety of their communities. And as you mentioned, you guys are not perfect, as no people who are human are perfect, right? It doesn't matter what the profession is. But the idea that politicians would line up behind and give their voice, lend credence to, as you said, guys sitting in his basement watching anti-cop videos, I mean, to me, it's one of the failures of American public policy of the largest degree that we've seen in the 21st century.
Right. It feels like, you know, across this country, we don't have leaders anymore. We have followers in leadership positions, and they go with what's hot, with what's hot right now.
Yeah.
Because
whatever the viral video is. Seems to be an anecdote right now. It's an anecdote-driven culture.
Yeah, they go with what's hot, and then they end up making knee-jerk policy to either defund, cut funding, or take away tools and even training, which all comes with defunding, that we need to improve. Like I said, there are a lot of big city departments that, you know, if people take their emotions out of it, they'll see that they've improved. They're more diverse. They're more culturally sensitive than ever before. But nobody can see that now because now, once again, we have politicians who are just sounding just like the average Joe, and not thinking. And these politicians have had police. They've worked side by side with police. They've been at the table with police. They say to our face, hey, we need you guys. But then they get on camera and say something else. And it's really doing a lot of damage. It's creating a wider chasm, than I've ever seen before. And that pendulum has to swing back soon or we're going to lose big city after big city. I believe that in a couple of years, every big city in America is going to be New York in the 1990s. And that's already happening. Crime's going up. And if you really care about people of color, if the black lives really matter to you, you're going to take a stronger stance and say, hey, look, yeah, we get police forces. They need to evolve. And we're trying to make that happen. But we can never sacrifice the safety of people because right now, where you're trying to fight what you believe or feel is racial iniquities in police forces, there's a bigger racial iniquity happening with crime right now, like I haven't seen since the early 2000s and the 90s.
So I think this is a really big point, and I appreciate you getting up early and starting out with us this morning, Officer Dion Joseph, 25-year veteran of the L.A. Police Department. I can feel it almost through the phone lines here and through the entire radio universe. There's a lot of police officers out there nodding along with you. It feels like to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that many athletes think they are making the world a better place by criticizing police officers in particular and demonizing police officers. When in reality, their goal may well be a good one, right? That they're trying to make communities safer and protect people, but they're actually making things worse for, as you said, many black and brown people all over the country because the tension that's being created either between police and the community creates more awful situations, right? Because people resist arrest and it creates all sorts of further issues and or police officers are pulling back, which allows the criminal element to sweep in, and their victims are innocent, black, brown, Asian, and Hispanic, and white people as well, who otherwise would have been able to be protected by police. Am I getting the overall storyline right from your perspective based on what I just said?
Oh, absolutely. You have celebrities and high-profile people who would rather be relevant than right. And these individuals, especially, in my opinion, have to take a step back and embrace objectivity. You may see something that's shocking to you, but what I tell people is please wait for all the facts to come out before you jump to conclusions. Look, I hate neutrality. People who are neutral to me on any issue are cowards, and you can't stand with me if you can't stand for anything. But objectivity is important because objectivity forces you to take a step back, look at get all the facts, put things into context, and find the right place to land. And what's happening now is these high-profile celebrities and people in high places are not even looking for the right place to land. They just want to sound good. They want to put credit on their woke pass or whatever card they're trying to put credit on. And they are making it worse when they engage, because now what you're creating is, in people's minds, are fight-or-flight primers, to where now you pull over an old lady and she starts crying thinking you're going to shoot her. This didn't happen 5 years ago. 99.9% of the people I stop or pull over, it goes pretty normal. They know, 10 and 2, give me your license. Now it's, are you going to kill me, officer? Now they're filming me, which is their right. But it's delaying to making a 7-minute traffic stop into a whole other situation that it doesn't have to be. And it's really frustrating for us, because it's making it unsafe, not just for us, but also the community members as well during these traffic stops. So, yeah, you're 100% right. That needs to change as soon as possible. And that's one of the reasons why I would like to meet with anybody, if not LeBron, anybody who's willing to sit down and hear the other side. That, I'm sorry, my job is not on a day-to-day, is not a reoccurring scene from training day. I'm sorry, that's not what I see day-to-day. You know, but people actually believe that every day we're shooting 10,000 black people a day, and that's just not happening. You know, that's just not happening.
Is that social media that's basically beating people over the head with the idea that these things that are not representative of larger police activity, that people think this is going on all day long? Because you mentioned somebody, old lady you pull over, and I saw a video went viral. I think it was out of L.A. I'm sure you saw it as well, where a Hispanic police officer pulls over a woman. They blurt out her face, but she's saying, oh, you're a murderer. Oh, you're going to kill me. She's got her camera out. She's filming him. And, you know, he's being as professional as he possibly could in what is a really difficult situation. That is becoming all too common, I'm assuming, in representative fashion for some of the interactions that you guys are having that didn't used to be the case.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And we've had, in my life, 25 years, I've had people I pull over and they call me everything but a child of God, but I've never seen it at this level. So, yeah, social media has a big hand in it, and some media outlets who are, you know, they love to catch eyeballs with the headline, you know.
Yes.
But but the devil's in the details, but the details are the way at the bottom. So we're living in an era where people are more intelligent than ever, but they're less intellectually diligent than ever. You know, it's just tell me what you're telling me now. Forget about the facts. And they read the headlines and then they run with it. And that's what's happening. And social media is so dangerous right now, to where you have people actually editing videos or putting captions to guide people to a thought. And then with one click of a button, you have 4 million people hating one police officer. And then by the time the video comes out with all the facts, your city's burned down, your police department's handcuffed, and you're wondering why the police don't respond as quickly as they used to, as they downsize, officers retire, officers quit. And our policy really handcuffs in us, can't handcuff police officers in trying to make a real difference out there in the way we know we're supposed to.
What do you think would happen? I'm going to use as an example. I went to law school and I didn't have a lot of experience with police officers growing up. And one of the things they would encourage us to do is do a ride around. I don't know how common ride arounds still are, but for young lawyers, you can learn, hey, this is what the job of a police officer actually consists of. It's amazing. It's eye-opening. I would encourage anybody out there who's interested in the law enforcement field to try and do this. What do you think would happen if you had LeBron or any member of the Lakers, for that matter, riding around in your police car for a few hours in a day to see what you did on a day-to-day basis? What do you think that basketball player or that athlete in the L.A. area, it could be a Dodger player, it could be a Laker, it could be a, you know, L.A. King, whoever it is, what do you think they would feel at the end of the day having watched you do your job?
It would be life-changing. And here's the thing, we've done that before, not just through ride-alongs, but also through Citizens Academies, where it's an 11-week Citizens Police Academy, where you basically get put in our shoes for 11 weeks. And it's life-changing for most people. And the other things that we've done is I've taken over 3,500 college students and activists on Skid Row tours to make them understand policing in the areas like Skid Row. And by the time I'm done, it only takes 2 hours for me to erase two semesters of indoctrination that the police are inherently evil and want to destroy homeless people. But all it takes is those 2 hours to just listen to the other side, to fill in those blanks that their college professor is not telling them, and those realistic reasons why people are on the streets and why we need to be able to do our jobs so that people could actually benefit. So absolutely, we've done this. We know it works. Right now, we just have to close that chasm and tear down those walls so we can get someone like a LeBron James or anybody to go through a shoot or don't shoot simulation and then put themselves in a situation the officers have been in and see how you would react as a human being. See, what people don't get is police officers, our job is as difficult, as unpredictable as humanity is, and we're just human beings doing it. Fear is real. People say all the time, well, if you're an officer, you shouldn't be afraid. That's stupid. I didn't stop being human when I put on the badge. It's just the difference between you and I is I have to find a way to reset and push past my fears to complete a goal where you have the luxury of hiding and running. I have to try to stop it. And fear sometimes causes mistakes. Fear causes maybe an overreaction sometimes. We're just human beings. But if you could just put yourself in our shoes for a second. I mean, we've seen hardcore anti-police activists change their tune just by going through a scenario or shoot, don't shoot. So, but right now what we're seeing is the current mood is we don't want to hear the truth. We don't care. You can show me all the data. We don't care. We don't want to hear it. And when you get to that place as an activist, as a leader, as a celebrity or an influencer, we're in trouble as a society. And that's when you get to that place, I don't foresee the future looking very bright for the public safety.
Can you come back with us for 5 more minutes? I want you to finish off the show because I think people out there, I think you're having a compelling impact, and for at least for my audience, being able to hear from you, Officer Joseph.
Yes, sir.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Officer Dion Joseph, LA Police Department, 25 years with us. Officer Joseph, do you have a favorite song that references the LA area as a longtime LA resident, fan of the Lakers since 1979? If you had to flip on your radio right now and listen to a song, what song would you want to hear? Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It, is an icon, a party classic that we're playing right now as we come back. Is there one that you love?
All right, now this is weird. Now, I love Montel Jordan. That was my jam back in 95.
Yeah.
Nonstop. But this was weird, guys. You guys probably don't even know this song, but if you find it, you'll feel L.A. Pumping through the song. It's called L.A. My Town by the Four Tops. And, you know, and I listened to that song, and first I'm like, this song sucks. But then there's a part of the song that really breaks down L.A. that gets you pumped and gets you into it. So, yeah, My Town, L.A. My Town by the Four Tops was
That is fantastic. And by the way, you are a music genius there if you knew exactly. Montel Jordan, 1995. That was when that song took off and absolutely dominated. I'm 42. I don't know how you are, but you couldn't escape that song in the mid to late 90s. It was absolutely everywhere. We're talking to Officer Dion Joseph. So you've been fantastic, and the feedback on this is going to be phenomenal and continues to be phenomenal. And I appreciate you giving us your time because I know how busy you are. Let's say that the Lakers do reach out to you, because I bet there's a lot of people affiliated with the Lakers or the Dodgers or the Kings or the Rams, Chargers, whoever it might be. A lot of people start off their morning listening to us, and they're thinking to themselves, I do want to make things better, not just in Los Angeles, but between police and the community in this country, because as you said, murder rate, shootings, all of it is skyrocketing all over the country. Doesn't matter what big city you're in or even, frankly, what state you're in. What could athletes and what could sports figures in your mind, let's pretend that you're made the czar of athletic and police relationship nationwide, which, by the way, I don't think would be a bad thing based on how great you've been on the show this morning. What do you think constructively could be done to make things better?
Well, being a senior lead officer for my department, I have big ideas. And my hope with meeting LeBron, I had a huge idea. We had something we did in Skid Row called the Trust Talks. Myself and a wonderful pastor named Delonte Goldston got together and said, we're not going to establish any relationships with the community, or we're not going to stop this vitriol unless we start talking. So we had something called the Trust Talks, where we had 10 tables, an officer at each table, a parolee, a gang member, a homeless person, a loft dweller, a service provider at a table, and we just humanized each other. And one of my grand ideas, if this meeting with LeBron would have happened, it would have went well, was to create an NBA, a nationwide Trust Talks, where Chicago Bulls can meet with Chicago PD in that fashion and have mediators there. Lakers can meet with LAPD and Inglewood and all these other departments, and New York can meet with them. And so we can start humanizing each other and breaking down these barriers and walls. And they would start to see that when they start seeing the heart of police officers, they would start to change a bit. And we did that with the Trust Talks. As a matter of fact, you would think the individuals that we had at the Trust Talks was like, okay, we're one and done. We never want to do this again. Our Trust Talks was highly demanded by the community after one. And on average, we would have 150 to 160 people from the community who wanted to keep talking to police officers, because deep down inside, people want to trust us. But when we're in our silos, that can't happen. So my grand plan was to create a nationwide Trust Talk and hopefully get LeBron, since he's a leader in the NBA, try to get his buy-in on that and just let's sit down, because everybody's hurting right now, because the police departments are hurting, the NBA's hurting. Hey, let's just come together and stop this vitriol and just come to an understanding. And then from talking to each other, come up with solutions together. That was my grand plan. So I think that would work work in volumes.
I love it. I mean, I think whoever's out there listening in sports leagues, and we have a lot of people out there listening, how could they reach you, Officer Deion Joseph? If somebody's out there listening right now in the LA area or any other part of the country, and they're thinking, you know what, athletes interacting and having conversations with police would potentially start to rebuild bridges and create a better relationship for many people across this country, how would you suggest that they reach out to you?
Oh, you can reach out to me at www.deonjoseph.org. My email is info@deonjoseph.org. You can hit me up on Twitter, OFCR Deion Joseph, or I have an Officer Joseph fan page on Facebook as well. You can hit me up there, inbox me. But you know, I would love to meet and coordinate something of that nature on a grand scale. And if anybody can help me inspire that or make that happen, I'm all the way ready. I'm ready. I've been born ready for this.
Officer Joseph, stay safe. Keep doing the good work that you are doing. I hope that the Lakers find themselves in the playoffs instead of just in the play-in series. And we'll have to see exactly how that ends up shaking out. But I appreciate the time, and I hope that we have helped, and I hope that this will lead to some constructive dialogue between athletes and policemen. Thank you for your work. And we look forward to hearing and want you to update us as hopefully this thing continues to grow.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me and giving me a voice. I appreciate that.
That fantastic stuff. Officer Deion Joseph, 25-year veteran. I'll share his info so you guys can reach out and try to make things happen in a positive way with him. I think that's the perfect way to finish this week's shows. I hope we've given you a little bit of inspiration, and thanks to all the law enforcement officers and first responders out there who start off their mornings with us. I am Clay Travis. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.